Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours, theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on.
Woo!
And welcome to the program, baby.
Oh, head of steam, dude.
Drew and I, working hard, going to be at Carmel Sunset Theater, August 16th. Yep, that's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow, Jesus, it's coming up fast.
Come on, join. That place, by the way, the price of admission of just sitting in that place.
Oh,
it
really?
It is a beautiful setting.
Let's take a picture and put it up next podcast, yeah?
Yeah, Chris Maxpat was with me last year.
Yeah, it's a great
place.
Do you
have a picture of it?
Yeah, I'll get a picture of it.
Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, Boston, and the Wilbur Theater. Another beautiful place, and Newport, Rhode Island. Now, that's coming up August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Let me say this. Quiet. Let me say this.
Say it.
Drew and I were discussing before the mics heated up about doing all the interviews, all the local radio stations and things like that, podcasts and all that kind of local stuff, trying to tell people, hey, we're coming to a town near you. Come on out. See us and have a good time. Couple things. Drew said, does it work?
Doing all these radio interviews. I think I'm talking to like flyers and things. You know, and people like the insert package and think putting their, I don't know, what the hell. Thank you.
All right. Do you don't know what? What are you saying, Drew?
I don't know. These things don't even seem like newspapers quite when I'm talking to. What? They feel like little, I imagine a mimeograph going off.
Here's the thing. A lot of this stuff, you have to realize there's a certain element here, Drew.
Yeah.
And it's always an element you have to think about in life, which is...
Gary, fuck you for the peanut picture.
Oh, yeah.
I heard all about that. Fuck you. Why did you put that up
there?
We're
going to get to the peanut.
Oh, like I'm the one who noticed
Why did you put it up there?
I was asked to by my boss.
We were having a good time together. I know he's
going to
go like
picture.
A Roman candle with
it's
that
It's going
to
happen either way.
We're going to get to the
peanut. I heard all about
happening.
It.
I'm not the problem
You
here.
Put it up there on the screen. We would have had a nice podcast, but go ahead.
All right.
Finish up.
We'll still have a nice first half. Now, listen. First things first. In this day and age, you know, when we were growing up, Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 7, you know, CBS, ABC, NBC, and then there's the Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, and the Boston
Chicago
Herald.
Sun, yeah.
Right, and that was that. Now you got some guy, and he's got something called The Patriot, and it's out of San Diego. And whoever you're talking to, the person that's booking whatever it is you're doing, does not have to get up at 5:45 in the morning and do a string of 22 of these. So for them, they don't give a shit who you're talking to. And if you talking to this guy sells one ticket, then that's fine for them because they're going to sleep through it. See, for you, it doesn't really make sense.
No.
So you hear these guys, this guy, yeah, the guy works for the Patriot out of San Diego. Whoa, what's that? Oh, they got a huge circulation. And you end up talking to the guy, and somewhere... around minute 26 when he goes, man, you fucking guys just fucking kicked ass on Loveline. Hold on. Mom! No, the cat's not out. I don't know where Mittens is.
Absolutely.
I'm doing an interview.
100%.
Fucking cunt. Anyway, what are you guys doing in San Diego? And you start realizing, what the fuck, who am I talking to? And by the way, we're on minute 26.
Yes.
And I've had the thing, like, I've done the, this guy has a really successful radio show in the Baltimore area. And you go, you look at your watch, you go, it's 31 minutes. He hasn't gone to commercial yet. And he's dropped three N-words and five F-bombs. And you're like, does this guy have a really successful radio show? out of the Baltimore area? Or 100%. Am I just talking to a fucking guy sitting at home on a podcast?
And not only that, that game might – let's say he has a successful radio show. His radio show is from 3A to 6A Pacific time. And they go, you got – he needs you at 5:55.
Right.
Well, no, I'm not going to do 5:55. He can tape only at 6. He gets off at 6, only at 6. The guy fucking sits around the radio station 4 hours after that drinking coffee. He just doesn't want to tape it later. We know how radio works.
Right.
You could tape it any time during the day. You don't even need the guy sitting there to tape it.
Right. Right.
Oh, that makes me so mad.
Yeah. So there's that one. And then there's this one.
Oh.
And I think this must bother you as well. I do these junkets all the time. And a lot of these are vetted. A lot of them are, okay, this guy's a radio show. These guys are morning show. They're the morning zoo, and they're wherever out of the Baltimore area, whatever. And they have producers. And I know they have producers because when I'm going down the line of 26 radio stations, the guy gets on the phone, and he's like, hi, I'm Phil. I'm the producer of Ass Crack and Back Sack in the morning. And we're just doing a stop set here. We'll have you up in about 30 seconds. So thanks for being on the show. And then they hang up. And they put you on hold. And then the guy comes on, either ass crack or back sack, and they start talking. And here's how the conversation goes. I heard about this whole fundraising thing you're doing for the fund anything. Yeah, that where are you? Have you started that yet? Or where's that? Where's that at? It's over, actually. Oh, did you meet your goal? Yeah. Here's the thing. With two clicks of a mouse by either you or your producer.
Producer.
You, producer.
And by the way, producer.
Producer.
The voice, they're not like Gary.
No, I told Gary 2 weeks ago, I said, you can be a producer. There's two producers in radio. There's the fucking flunky who sits in the chair and does zero and gets a coffee on occasion and has a look like someone put a plate of shit under his or her face. And then there's people who produce. When I worked with Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy produced. I've worked with other producers that have sat there and warmed the chair. So I said, do you want to produce or do you want to warm the chair?
To be fair, though, listen, when the producer gets on the phone before he puts you on the air, the voice is cracking. It's still changing. It's a 19-year-old.
No. This was not that. So the person on the air goes, yeah, did you guys start that yet? And I go, yeah, we started it. Oh, how's it going? Well, like I said, everyone has a computer. Everyone. Every radio station. At their desk. Literally, tick, tick, tick. Fund anything. Oh, you guys crossed $1 million mark. And that way, by the way, not for me, but for you. It seems like you're on top of your game. And then comes into what about the Mangaria? The Mangaria? What is that? Mangina? What is that? What are you guys doing? You got some kind of drink or something? Yes, it's Mangria. Yeah, what is that? How do you, what if I wanted some of that? Mangria.com, CorollaDrinks.com, go to AdamCorolla.com. So just go to the website. Yeah, says Mangria. So it's on the website.
To be fair, though, by the time three questions into that interview, you're a great interview. Now you're passive aggressive. Now you're pissed. Now it's all very uncomfortable for everybody.
Celebrity. And then there's this one. True. How much louder could you get up?
Did not mean to do that.
It's just like a fucking drunken ballerina. Then there's this one. Celebrity Apprentice. How was that experience? It's good. Yeah, but by the way, I called in to talk about something I did 3 years ago. That's my thing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm plugging.
Yeah.
What was it like working with Lisa Rinna? We didn't do... She wasn't on my cast my year. Oh, how about Bret Michaels? He wasn't on my cast that year. Wow. And can I say this? And I've said it once. I'll say it a fucking thousand times. Everyone sits around and they go, how do I get out to L.A.? Because I'm out here in Virginia City, and we're the 123rd largest market in the country, and I would like to get out to the second largest market, or I'd like to get on television, or I like it. How do I get out there? How do I do it? What's the magic? What's the key? First off, here's what the answer is not going to be. I have a magic stone that you can rub. You know what you do?
Plates.
When you realize somebody's coming on your show, whether it's me or Dr. Drew, someone you've heard of, someone you haven't heard of. You and your producer go, what's he got going? That's it. Fund anything. All right. Go to that website. How are we doing there? Oh, he's crossed $1 million. Yeah, write that down. And who was, when he did, what did he do? Celebrity Apprentice? The year he did it, who was on his, who was the cast? Who do we got here?
But you're talking about how to operationalize it. How about how to motivate it? Like, hey, man, your job should be to impress the shit out of that guy so he remembers you and maybe thinks of you the next time he needs something.
I got to tell you, people think there's some sort of, we talk about this a lot, this mythology of how did Jay Leno become Jay Leno? How did Jimmy Kimmel become Jimmy Kimmel?
Obviously. Well,
not
luck.
Luck.
Obviously.
Whoa. What about my magic stone?
Yeah, and your stone. And the stone.
Factor that in.
Well, it wasn't your stone then. Somebody else had it.
Jay Leno and Jimmy, but I can certainly, and it's weird because I don't know, I can't speak for Jimmy. I don't know if he, oh no, I do know this. If you're coming in and plugging a movie, he watches that movie the night before, the fucking entire movie. Leno watches it. Jimmy watches it. They watch it. They watch it at home. They watch it at 1 a.m. They watch it. And then they come down to your dressing room before the show, or in Jimmy's case, during the show, they talk about the movie from the standpoint of someone who has seen the movie, because even though they were done with work, they weren't off the clock. They did their homework, and thus they're where they are today. They don't sit there and go, what's the name of that hamper movie you did? Now, what was that about? A wrestler? No, they watch it.
Did you take steroids for that?
They watch it, and they come down, and they talk about it.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Now, out of all the people I talked to, I've done this with book tours. I've done it with I've done it with the Hammer, where we've sent them out the 88-minute video a week in advance. I could tell 2 out of the 41 people had actually taken the time to even watch the fucking movie.
Yeah.
And that's why they will remain where they are. But as long as they want to keep looking at it as luck, who you know, or the magic stone, that keeps them in a holding pattern.
We should revisit the junior producer Lauren's tips for succeeding in radio.
I do.
Remember
that
this?
That is some
the best.
That is the best. And the best is, and the story's been told before, but we'll tell it again.
It never gets old.
It never, not for me, it doesn't. Not for me, because I think it encapsulates every single thing that's wrong with every human being under the age of 30. It really does. First off, there is no recognition. It's an army where everyone's a general, 4-star general. There's no recognition between corporals and 4-star generals and privates and corporals. There's just nothing. There's just
everyone's
come
waiting.
In, get your own coffee. Why are you talking to me that way? And junior.
Yeah, well, there was that. You can't talk to me that way. Tara, don't call me Tara, goddamn it. Remember that?
Yeah. She said, you're not my boss.
You can't talk to me like that.
She was a phone screener. I said, yeah, I am your boss. She said, you can't fire me. I said, yeah, I can. I can fire anybody I want. And she's like, it was great.
And mind you, you were asking her not to watch television when you were speaking to her about something really relevant to the show.
We had gotten like 8 abortion calls in a row. So during a commercial, I walked out of the studio around to where you guys would be through the glass in the control room. And I said, hey, we got way too many abortion calls. We need to start screening these things out. And as I was saying it, she was looking up at the TV that was up in the corner. That was literally
like Happy Days, or
it was like running Happy Days, and she started laughing at the TV set.
Yes, it's true.
And I said, "Hey, I need you to focus when I'm talking." And she said, "I can watch TV and listen." And I said, "I don't think you're doing a good job of it. So when I'm talking, turn around and listen to what I'm saying to you."
And he said it just like that.
And she said, "You're not my boss." And I said, "I am your boss." She's a phone screener, and she said, "You can't fire me." And I said, I fucking can fire you.
So then you got a little hot. You got a little hot. Not bad. And then she started complaining about how you spoke to her at that point.
She needed more people speaking to her. I don't know how many times I got to get into this in life. She needed more people speaking to her that way through her life so she would not become the 24-year-old fucking monster that she was. Am I the only one who understands this concept? I think we do apply it to almost every animal in the animal kingdom, like in children. We certainly apply it to, like, we do. Hey, you got to understand, or otherwise your kid will end up being a fucking, well, yes, that needs to continue. So I told her, anyway, by the way, the point is I went on to do, you know, Loveline, Crank Yankers, Man Show. I've hired hundreds of people. I would never hire her, ever. And if anyone ever thought to hire her, I would tackle them. Before, and I work with many people at Loveline that I would say that about.
So now junior.
So I don't know what the deal is. Don't ever impress the guy who just staffs up every year for a new TV show. I would never hire her for anything.
ABC, what the hell?
Must have been doing a story. Yeah. All right. So
junior producer Lauren came
junior in producer Lauren came in, and I would never hire junior. But I wouldn't hire Anderson to do anything either. I wouldn't hire almost anyone I worked with over there to do anything ever. She came in. I don't know what we're getting into.
It was a commercial break, I think.
It was a commercial break. Yeah. And somehow the topic came up.
We were talking about sort of what people wanted to do in their careers or something.
Right.
Maybe they were sort of in that zone. We were talking about, what do you want to do?
Right.
Yeah.
So I said, junior producer Lauren, what have you learned from working with me over the last 5 years?
I got to set it up. It was actually a sort of a buoyant moment where she comes in and goes, and Adam goes, hey, Lauren, you know, what do you want to do? You've been working with the great Corolla. Ironically, he said this. What do you learn from us over the years? And I'm sure you've absorbed something that you can apply later in your career. What are your plans? What'd you learn here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a very pleasant, funny kind of opening.
Yes.
And then?
She said, well.
She said it straight, not laughing back.
No, she wasn't busting chops or screwing around or anything.
No, this was.
She was thinking about it.
Yeah.
She said,
First of all.
They can't fire you. Which was
that.
A weird one because, of course, they can fire you. They can always fire you. They don't fire people who, when they show up, you have one affiliate. And at this point, you have 110 affiliates. They don't fire those people, and you're number one in every market you're in. They don't fire those people. But you want to start doing a shitty job and dropping affiliates and losing ratings, of course they can fire you, as I later found out in radio. But anyway, you can't be fired, which just implied to me that I should have been fired.
Absolutely.
Or she thought
100%.
I should have been fired.
She said it that way, too.
Right. They can't fire you. It's who you know.
It's who you know. That's how you get your job. It's everything. Who you know.
That's how I got, how I got this job.
Of course.
As I knew, I met Jimmy. You don't have to be educated.
Need no education, which was looking at him like eyeball to eyeball. You certainly don't need an education.
You can show up basically right before the show. You don't have to prepare. That's your thing. You know. Now, again, I don't have to prepare. Because I have a nimble mind. You, sweetie, need to prepare. I do not need to prepare.
And by the way, let's be your years of prep were improv and swinging a hammer. And you
put myself through the groundlings.
You did your prep. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
She missed all that. Anyway.
She missed that part. You don't need a prayer. It's who you know. You don't need to be educated. Oh, I think you can talk to anyone any way you want or something like that.
She sort of gave a little corollary.
Yeah.
You can't get fired and you can talk to anybody any way you please.
Right.
Yeah.
And those were our main.
No. There was one more. Big bucks.
What's that?
Number five was you get big bucks. Remember that? She said.
Oh, yeah.
You get big bucks doing all
but
that.
But anyway, those were her five keys to success in the radio business. So young broadcasters out there, take heart. There's a chance. All you have to do is know somebody. And keep in mind, you can never be fired. I love to talk to all the radio guys, including Jimmy Kimmel, who's been fired from five of his radio jobs. This notion of cannot be fired in radio. Radio is one of those. By the way, if you work for the L.A. school system and you want to molest just a handful of kids, you probably can't be fired. Or you'd like to join, you know, you'd like to have gender reassignment, have the city pay for it, and continue teaching preschool, you cannot get fired. But radio, believe you me.
Not only you get fired capriciously. Like, you walk in one day.
You don't get 2 weeks' notice.
No, it's like, hey, today, we were a talk station, now Ranchero music, 24/7. That's it. Goodbye. Goodbye, everybody. Have a nice time.
Or just you said something that pissed somebody off, and when you show up, a dude escorts you to your office with the box, and you're out. They don't give you, because what they don't want is you getting on the microphone and talking about why you got fired.
Right.
You're just fired.
Yeah.
So, yes, they can just fire you. It happens, like I said, in radio maybe more than almost any other profession.
Yeah, and radio has a proclivity to change locks. As soon as somebody's been fired, you know that?
Yeah.
Hey, change the locks again. Change the locks.
But anyway, that was junior producer Lauren's keys to success. And
in radio.
In radio. And
could apply to all things, let's be fair.
She was very straight about it when she delivered the news to me. The other thing that I get a lot of when I do these early morning junkets and phoners. And look, some people are really big fans and respectful and cool and nice, and I love those people, and that's fine. I like I said, I get angry at the lazy. I don't mind the people who burn calories and fuck up. I mind the people who don't burn the calories. With the internet, with things that are especially based on the internet, like I'm finished it, but I was doing my crowd fundraising, it's all the internet. It's all in your computer. If you type in Adam Carolla, it'll pop up. If you type in fund anything, it'll pop up. If you type in, if you go to my website, it'll pop up. Why wouldn't you spend, and you say, you know, jokingly from years past, why wouldn't you spend 10 minutes and do this?
2 seconds now.
23 seconds.
Yeah.
23 seconds and bam. I mean, I sit next to Matt, the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier, and I'll say to him, how are we doing on fund anything, or how, what's going on with the count on the whatever, and he just goes,
think,
we're at 1 minute, blah, blah, blah. So it's just like, it's 7 seconds.
Yeah.
But no, not going to do it. The other one is this. How do we get into this podcast thing? What's going on with this pod? Because we're thinking about it. We're thinking about it.
Jesus.
You know, we got to, I mean, we're not in love with our program director. We're thinking about making the move. It's like, well, there's 250,000 folks that are thinking about it on iTunes as we speak, and then that's just iTunes. There's got to be another million around the world that are thinking about it. Yeah, but how do you? What's the key? What do you? All right, let me get my magic stone out again. Well, what's the key to making it in the NBA? What's the key? What's the key? Well, you got to be good, and then you have to be consistent.
Yeah.
But you have to have a product. It's no, look, what's the key to having a good sub shop? What's the magic? Show up early in the morning, bake the bread, cut the meats fresh. Don't gouge people. If people ask for some tomato on their sub, don't go, that's an extra 18 cents. Just throw the tomatoes on there. Tell them thank you, come again, and be open on Sundays. That's the key.
What do you think is going to happen to podcasting? With that very setup you've described, I think is accurate. There's like a million people going to start doing podcasting. What's going to happen to this?
I think it will go the same way that TV has gone to a certain degree.
I mean, with all the channels, good programming will sort of float up.
Yes, but also you will have to whack the pie into slightly smaller pieces. There's just so much out there. There's so much content. I mean, by the way, that's why we ask and thank and count on you to sort of share this with somebody, because there's so many choices out there. There's so much clutter out there, good and bad. Sometimes it's hard to find. I would be curious. I'll ask Gary.
I understand how people have the time to sort through all this stuff and then listen and discern. I understand.
Find the ratings of a show like Girls, which is highly acclaimed, and or a show like Breaking Bad. Give me another one of those kind of Sons of Anarchy, you know, those kind of shows versus Dukes of Hazzard or Love Boat. And you'll get my point.
In the day. Yeah, Dukes of Hazzard. Love Boat was like a 23 share.
Right. In a time.
Breaking Bad is a 2.1.
Yeah, I mean, no, literally Love Boat, in a time when there were 200 million people living in the United States, would have 28 million of them watching.
Yeah.
And now Girls has 375,000 viewers per average
episode.
That's
a massive hit.
Well, at least a critical hit, but it's a hit or whatever. Yeah. We know the name of it.
Yeah.
So it's turning into a little bit of a smaller, higher quality group, you know, a few but proud thing versus just mass amount of people that sort of passively
watch shit.
Yeah. Like, you know, here's the point. We all watched Love Boat. Yeah. Are any of us into it?
Yeah.
Do any of us care about Captain Stubing?
No,
I mean, it was just there.
Yeah.
You know, I treat it like my elementary school. It's like I drive past it half the time. I see it. It's just there, but I don't feel that I'm compelled to go back and speak or do anything. It's just that's a place I pass through. I just as soon forget about it, and I'm moving on. And when it comes to the podcast, it's a different kind of relationship. People are much more engaged. We see it when we go out and do our live shows and stay and shake hands and sign books and ticket stubs and things like that. People are just more engaged. Fewer, but more engaged. I don't want this premiere. Did I say the word premiere?
It was the first episode that came up.
Okay, but the premiere oftentimes is going to be inflated.
Yeah.
What the average? I'm looking for the average. Whatever.
I'm surprised that premiere was as small as it was. Frankly,
872,000. Yeah,
that's low. I mean, compared
it's under a million. No, look, when we used to do Loveline on MTV, we'd do a 2-something.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
being insane.
Yeah,
we'll figure that out. We'll get that.
And yet, there's an interesting thing happening where there's sort of almost a higher level of awareness of these shows that are rating right? I mean, think about it. Let's take our Loveline, for instance. Loveline had way more viewers than, say, Girls.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only known amongst the viewers. You know what I mean? It wasn't like it bled into the culture beyond that much. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, it kind of depends, because it depends on there's a hip factor.
Well, it's almost like going into a gourmet restaurant or something. It's like, well, I've never really been here before, but I go and I've heard the food's good here.
Right.
And I only get to go very occasionally, but I've heard the sweetbreads are great. I got to have that.
Yeah. Nobody's got to have sweetbreads.
I know that.
But there's also an element, and there's always going to be an element of hipness.
But that's that quality. It's like we've heard about it. We talk about it, right?
Well, but it depends sort of what I don't want to politicize it, but it's a sort of a I had a very successful crowdsourcing campaign that got no coverage.
Right.
Zero coverage.
Right.
Veronica Mars got tons of coverage.
Yeah.
And Zach Braff got tons of coverage.
Right.
And I got zero coverage. I had a success story. You know, raised more money than any comedian's ever raised.
But it was depressed. Not on the radar.
Nowhere. Yeah. Because I'm not sexy to them.
But in that is something, and I can't quite dissect it. There's something meaningful in that, in what we're talking about here. Girls becomes top of mind for everybody, even though you've never seen it. And you know what I mean? And then
if you write a story on Girls, you're part of the hip club and you're progressive and you're cool and it shows everyone who you are and see, look.
But there's something weird going on.
But if you write something on me, it's like, you're with that guy.
But part of the hip crowd is seemingly a more important thing these days. Maybe that's social media or something. I don't know what that is.
Dig this.
Dig.
I say something that's basically somewhere between no duh, no shit to Gavin Newsom. And everyone picks it up and runs with it.
Yeah.
All right. So that's...
But that's hip. But that's what...
That's sling mud at Adam Carolla. But Adam Carolla has a victory by raising well over $1 million for his next independent film. We're not going to report the victory. So we'll choose Yeah, what
like,
we want to.
Sounds like high school. Sounds like we're the cool kids.
Right.
We'll fuck with you where we want.
Right. And we don't like him.
Yeah.
So if he has a victory, it'll go unnoticed.
That's,
we won't recognize
that's why
it.
I'm thinking it's social media or
right.
something.
But
it's
the point is your job is to report. Just report, not decide whose side you're on. You're on girls' side or you're on Adam Carolla's side. Well, all right. But the point is this, and this is what I love about the pirate ship, and I laugh about this with Mike August all the time because I say, Jesus Christ, we're having this incredible success, and there's not even a story about it. There's not, it doesn't come up. And he goes, good, fuck them. You're never going to get a story. That's the point. You don't need them. That's the point. You have a pirate ship. That's the point. You're never going to be recognized by these assholes. Fine. You have your fans. They're the ones who contribute. They're the ones who get you over $1 million. Fuck everyone else. That's the whole point of this. And that's why we're here.
Speaking of the pirate ship and being here,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you can't be there. Hmm? So you got to go to meeting.
Ah, baby. Yes. And Gary, I will accept the girl's number. As
the only
it
other
is.
One we can find is the season finale.
Which is
those are the only
high.
Two. Me and Chris
all
have
right,
both
so what was Dukes of Hazzard?
Dukes of Hazzard was $21 million.
$21 million
in 1979.
800,000 for girls.
And the reason the girls' number is so high is because they're including DVR
and
people watch online
Go.
And things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, so your
too.
Average watched episode. Now remember, there's no DV anything with
Dukes.
With Dukes. You were
you
ass
had to sit
planted
at
in seat.
No, there was no TiVo. No, you were there that night.
$21 million versus $300,000. Probably if on an that. Average episode. Right. Okay.
It's fucking crazy.
It's crazy.
But you can't be there, but you need to be successful in business. You need to meet regularly with your team, and it's tough, tough. Mm. So go to meeting with HD Faces by Citrix. You share the same screen. Turn on the webcam. Make your online meeting an HD video conference, and you can do it from anywhere, including computer, smartphone, tablet, even your iPad. And we have a free offer, Adam. You'll be shocked to know. Try GoToMeeting free, 30 days. GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code Adam.
Drew standing up, everybody. That's how passionate he is.
I am. I had to stand up to get to
and we know he's a man of passion.
Well, here, you're seeing it right
he's passionate
now.
About GoToMeeting.
Try GoToMeeting free 30 days. GoToMeeting.com, Try It Free button, code Adam. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
All right, Drew.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a bachelor party question.
Oh, good.
Girlfriend, stripper.
Oh, geez.
I like that. Iowa, 26. Let's see. Dave, Iowa. What's going on?
Get it on.
Get on, baby. What's up?
Hey, guys. So I'm heading to Michigan this weekend for a buddy's bachelor party.
Me too.
And, and there's going to be at least one or two strippers there. And
shocking.
In the past,
mm-hmm. yeah.
when I've gone to bachelor parties and she later found out about this, she was extremely upset and kind of laid down a law of, you know, if you go to bachelor parties again and there's strippers, you know, things are going to be over.
Oh, boy.
And I don't want to not go, but at the same time, I have a horrible poker face.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I don't all know right. if it's just,
look, here's what I do believe. I've got in it. I think I've yelled at your wife about this.
Yes, we've talked about this, you and I.
Yes. And but I yelled at your wife about it once.
And me.
Oh, and you.
You'll yell at me in a minute just again when I have
yeah.
offer my opinion.
No, what happened... With Drew and myself.
Oh, yeah, I went to the Playboy Mansion that one night, yeah.
But, all right, now hold on. Now, yeah. God damn it, listen to me.
Is that what you're going
to
talk about, that episode?
Yes.
All right.
And you realize I'm right now, I think. Drew and I used to do Politically Incorrect all the time. And they were doing it their once a year big show or week, I think, from the Playboy Mansion. And they invited us as guests. Amongst other guests, you know, not exclusive guests, it's like they did PI. And I said, yeah. And I remember us saying, yeah, we'll do it on the way to Loveline. It was kind of geographically sort of on the way from where we lived. Playboy Mansion is always on the way, by the way. And they were, I remember it was cutting it close because they were taping at like 8:30 or something like that. We had to be out of there at 9:30, 9:40 at the latest to haul ass to get to Loveline by 10 o'clock. So it was one of those show up for makeup at 7:30, tape at 8:30, whatever. And Drew and I both just did it on the way to go to Loveline, the radio show. And Drew intentionally didn't say he was going to the Playboy Mansion to do PI. He just said to his wife, I'm doing politically incorrect, which is something he'd done many times before, so it didn't raise an eyebrow. Later on, his wife found out that it was politically incorrect, but it was at the Playboy Mansion. Now, it wasn't in the grotto. It was just sort of out, spread out by the pool, and people were fully dressed and basically sober. And yeah, there were a couple of chicks walking around bikinis, but I mean, we rolled in there, got our hair and makeup, sat down, shot this thing, and then jumped up, ran for our cars, and hustled down the Loveline. Well, she looked at this as a betrayal, and she was pissed. And Drew said, "I'm sorry. I should have said something. You're right." And I said, "This is the wrong angle, because she's out of control, and she's going to spin further out of control. She needs what a, I don't know, when you crate train a dog, that's what she needs. Here's what she needs right now. Honey, I bust my ass for this family. You sure as fuck know I don't cheat on you. I was going to do PI, and by the way, on my way from one job during the day, being a doctor, then shoehorning this shit in, and then going to my job that runs till midnight so I can put bread on the table. And yes, I did not mention it was at the Playboy Mansion. And that's not because I'm trying to hide it from you. That's because you're so tightly wound that you freak out over nothing. This is a zero, pants on, show up, knock out. Again, on my way to my third job to keep you in this house and driving that Lexus. So I'm not going to take shit from you because I did nothing. And if I apologize, it'd be sort of an admittance of guilt. I have nothing to feel guilty about. And I would happily tell you I'm going to the Playboy Mansion, but you would freak out unnecessarily over it. And thus she would take a step back and go, okay. She'd get her shit together.
There was a little more comedy to this because you actually grabbed the phone from me. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
He goes, "What'd you say to her?"
I can't remember, but I know I yelled at her.
You yelled at her and said, "What do you think his plan is? Going to swing by the Playboy Mansion, bang a couple of playmates, and then move on over to Love?" Screaming this. "What do you think he's doing? You think he's going to go bang some playmates on his way off the set over to Love?" Screaming his head off at the top of his lungs. It's hysterical.
Right. Now, my point is, that's the best thing she could have heard. Hearing, "Sorry, sweetie, you're right. I should have been more upfront with you. This one's on me," gives her more momentum in the wrong direction. And as what happens with pets, sorry, ladies, with pets and kids, they start to feel out of control. You take your dog and you go, you just sleep on, you get up on any sofa and do it. They start chewing on themselves eventually. You know what I mean? What they need is to tug on the leash and listen, "I'm in charge, but it's good. You're fine. Moving on." And when you start saying to your woman, no, there weren't any strippers there. We played Parcheesi, and there was one fat chick, but she's fully dressed. Like, then she starts questioning you, and then what happens is you get busted. And now you're busted.
Yeah, busted is bad.
But you still didn't do anything.
I know, right. So here's how I think you should approach. You should go directly to her and go, "Hey, I can go to this thing or not. There's going to be strippers.
I would say, look,
I go or not. What are we
going
to do?"
"I'm going. There will be strippers. That's how these things work. I will not be engaging or participating in any escapades with these people. But there's a problem. This is a dear friend of mine, and he's getting married, and thus I'm going to his bachelor party. And B, there will be a stripper. But C, you can trust me unless you guys have some sort of history that I'm unaware of."
Dave?
But it's just, you know, kind of small town girl, doesn't like it, gets nervous whenever I go out of town, whether it be for, you know, weekends like this or on business travel.
While I don't disagree with what Adam is saying, I have a slightly different attitude about it. And it comes from I saw some research recently. It was talking about how relationships survive long term. Mm-hmm. And they were looking at how people that have been married for 20 plus years navigate. And they found that people with time start avoiding things that cause conflict or cause pain in the other person. They just don't do it.
Right.
So I would say, if you know for sure this is going to cause her pain, no matter how you reassure her, personally, I wouldn't do it. It's not worth it. If her feelings are important and they're going to be hurt no matter what, I wouldn't go.
But what about business travel? Yeah. See why I should have been a lawyer? What do I get out of Dr. Drew?
No, I think there's certain things you can't choose not to do. This is when you can't choose.
But she doesn't like when he goes out of town for business.
Got to do it.
What?
Got to travel.
What? But she doesn't like that.
I know. But there's certain things we have to learn to. There's a big difference between going to Shreveport and going to a strip.
But not in her party. In her mind, she maybe not as big a difference. She doesn't like him leaving town and staying in a hotel somewhere.
I understand your point. Where the line is for given different people, and that has to be adjusted for the given couple.
Okay. I would sort of argue that when people are jealous this way, the way to cure them of it is not to sort of go like, oh, no, I would never, because that sort of gives them more, it gives them a little more momentum.
Yeah, I understand.
All right, and part of it is just being 26. I mean, let's face it, you get a little bit older and you just don't give a shit.
Right.
Let's talk to Junior, 30, Fresno. What's going on, Junior?
Yeah, definitely no. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
I'm just worried that I had a history of, stimulant use in my early 20s, basically to help me get through college. And now I am running into an issue where I'm just dragging ass all day, every day. It's getting worse, progressively worse. I'm trying to get my doctor to possibly put me through a sleep study, but their big thing right now is like, well, if you lose some weight, I can definitely, that'll help.
How much do you weigh?
I'm probably about, right now, about 194, about 5'6". I mean, I'm not grossly overweight, but I'm probably about 50 pounds heavier than what I was.
Do you snore a lot?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so there's. I think you should push for the sleep study.
50 pounds heavier than what you were is dragging something around. Yeah. Now, look, a lot of guys were pixies, and their freshman year in high school, whatever. But let's just call it 25 pounds. I'll meet you in the middle. Somebody say he was 5'6" or whatever. He should really be coming in about 165.
Yeah.
So he's dragging around, and by the way, he said 195. Let's go ahead and make that 205. Dragging around that weight. I've not known a husky guy that didn't snore. That is one stereotype that is pretty much spot on.
Well, it's interesting you said husky and not fat, because husky does imply sort of a
barrel chest.
Yeah, some of the weight's distributed around the middle here.
Well, fat and or husky. I've noticed have been big time snores.
Listen, it's the weight here increases the pressure gradient from the mouth to the respiratory cavity. Mm-hmm. You understand? There's actually when something sits on your chest, that's pressure.
Yeah, you're sitting on you all night.
Yeah, and so that pressure gradient has to be overcome, and that's what causes the snoring sometimes.
Yeah. All right. So look, the thing about the losing the weight stuff is, we always talk about, couldn't hoit, as the Jewish doctor would say.
I agree. However, Junior, here's my – I have some very specific advice.
But if your doctor says, hey, man, you should lose some weight, feel free to listen to him. But then go ahead.
I absolutely agree. But when you have measurable, really fatigue that seems medical, let's call it, things that affect functioning – you deserve a very thorough workup, because that can be all kinds of things. Yes, sleep apnea is a good possibility here, but please be sure they do a careful evaluation to make sure there's not something else.
There's good old-fashioned depression, too.
Well, right. It says here you had stimulant abuse in college. You said you had stimulant abuse in college. Yeah, that can deplete the neurochemicals. That can set you up for depression later, and it could be depression, but that's depression and sleep apnea are diagnoses down the line after you've made sure there's not something very serious going on here. Okay?
All right, Junior.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. All right.
Take care, brother. All right. Stamps.com.
Ooh.
Love these guys. I know you love them, too.
I do.
We use them here. You use them at home, right?
We were early adopters. Yep.
Yep. I would use them at home, but I have here. So I bring everything
here.
There's
so much business conducted in your home.
Most people, for me, I have a business. It's here.
Yeah, yeah.
So not so much going on at home, but it all takes place here. And believe you me, people send me, book jackets to sign. And we're constantly putting stuff in envelopes, sending it back. It's all stamps.com. Why? Why would you do this archaic? The Berlin Wall and the post office will be the two things people are curious. Why did that last so long? I'm saying 100 years from now. Stamps.com is all you need. Nothing wrong with the post office, but You want to save time, man. Stamps.com. You just one click away. Track packages, send shipment notifications, get free supplies delivered, and more, baby. It is so easy. We got a special no-risk offer. You get the digital scale. You plug it into your computer, put your parcel on there, comes right out of here. The stamps, I always want to call the postage,
yeah,
comes
postage.
Right out of your printer, yeah. And boom, right on there. Plus $55 free postage.
How is that possible?
Don't know. Only if you enter ADS. That's what makes it possible. So go to stamps.com now. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ADS. That's stamps.com. Promo code ADS. All right. A couple more calls here, Drew.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's just go down the line. Talk to Todd, 34, Kentucky. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Big fan. Unlike the last caller, my call is sort of in reference to depressant abuse. I'm sort of addicted to Benadryl, and I was wondering if there's any long-term effects.
What do you mean addicted to Benadryl? Because there really is no such thing. So what are you describing?
Why not?
Because it doesn't have that chemistry. It doesn't affect that part of the brain. There's dependency where you feel dependent.
Is that the cold medication?
Yeah, it's allergy medicine, diphenhydramine.
But doesn't it hype a lot of people up?
If you take most people, it makes them drowsy. It can hype you up. But if you have a lot of it, it will hype you up.
Okay, interesting.
So what's happening with it? Are you taking a lot?
I usually take about 50 milligrams a day, and it's kind of in response to I sort of drink too much, and instead I can take this diphenhydramine, and it kind of calms me down and relaxes me and suppresses that urge to drink is the reason I do it.
Why don't
perfectly
you go
normal, perfectly healthy?
So you're describing an anxiety disorder, and an old trick is to use Atarax or Vistaril, and Benadryl is in that same class for anxiety. So that's actually, you've done something rather sophisticated to manage your own anxiety, but why don't you get your anxiety disorder assessed
now, what
and treated?
Benadryl,
it's a little pill. It's a little,
yeah, so it's like if you were going on the Tonight Show and you're anxious,
yeah,
you would take a Benadryl?
He would. I would be like stuporous if I did. I couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
I use it for sleep sometimes, and it keeps me down for like 10 hours.
You're such a fucking lightweight.
I know.
Such a lightweight.
Absolutely.
Jesus Christ. I ought to try that Benadryl. Gary, tell Matt to find me one of the Benadryls.
No problem.
That does.
You better take 50 milligrams, not 25, though.
Okay. Let's go with 50. All right. So, Drew.
Yeah. So Todd.
It sounds like the drinking is more of
an issue. Yeah. You have several things going on here, and we don't know what's primary. We know you have a lot of anxiety. We know you found an interesting way to manage it, but why don't you go get that properly assessed and treated? And the drinking may or may not be the problem or a secondary issue.
Yeah, and I acknowledge that. The problem is my career is such that seeking either alcohol or anxiety treatment can have negative repercussions. So I'm fearful of doing that.
He's a professional Eskimo? Shit. He's dumb. Pilot!
You nailed it.
Thank you.
Well, you should...
Fuck. Should have done it first and Eskimo second.
Listen, Benadryl is going to fuck with your motor reactivity.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, absolute. And the antidepressant class, I think certain ones are okay for pilots. And that would be much better, I would think, for your anxiety and for your career. Mm-hmm. I never
take it while I'm flying. Would it have? Would it affect motor skills over like a long term, even when I'm not?
No, probably not.
It's been 12 hours or so.
No, probably not. Probably not.
Okay.
To be fair, I would guess that if you had, I don't know how many aces we have in the United States. I mean, maybe we awarded a couple hundred in World War II, and then 45 more in Korea, and then another 25 in Vietnam or something. I don't know if there's mm-hmm. 500 aces.
What makes someone an ace? I don't even know.
You need, three kills or something or more or something, combatant.
Five air-to-air.
Five air-to-air. All right, yeah. So you need five air-to-air, and that makes you an ace. And I don't know if we have 500 of those guys, but I'll guarantee 350 of them are alcoholics.
Oh, for sure.
If it helps.
Oh, for sure.
If it helps. So do you want to be an ace?
No. Being an alcoholic, the alcoholics are extra gratified by extreme circumstances. They are excellent in those situations.
Yeah.
So I no doubt in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I would say probably all of them. I'm not kidding.
Every single one of them's an ace?
An
alcoholic?
They weren't using.
Doolittle's an alcoholic?
They weren't using.
How dare you?
I'm not saying they were using when they were.
No, but when they got out of that cockpit.
Or they had that gene. They had
a fucking belt when they got out of that cockpit. And by the way, they didn't do it. They didn't go hide in a closet. They did it with the fucking Admiral back then. Do you know what I mean?
Proudly got wasted.
Proudly. All right. So what?
All right,
you do?
Todd. So
find out how many aces.
It's up to you, my friend. You've it's an interesting. You've not done something wrong or bad. You've got an. It's really an interesting situation. You were entitled to confidential mental health care, though, at least to get an assessment, I would think.
I'll tell you what's interesting. DraftKings.com, baby.
Speaking of drinking.
Celebrating with millions of cash and prizes. One-day fantasy sports, never get locked into the season. So it's like, Drew, I know you don't like the it's two things you don't like. You don't like golf. You don't like the fantasy football because it takes too long.
Yeah.
It's a commitment.
Yeah.
This ain't a commitment. This turns over every day.
What?
Pick your team one day. If you win, great. If you lose, fine. You move on to the next day. You fight again. They award millions of bucks during the kickoff week. You can pick your team in minutes and play. And like I said, whack up millions of bucks. Anyone can enter. Just a couple bucks to win the cash prizes. And one guy won 100 grand very first time out. Drew.
Get this, Adam. Play for free.
What?
Yes, free at DraftKings.com. Enter Drew, D-R-E-W, with your first pay game and get free entry into the $1 million kickoff bash. Seriously, free entry that could win you thousands just playing fantasy football. Use Drew at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com.
All right. Let's see. We got another call going here. How many aces do you think we've had, Drew?
350?
Yeah, I'd say maybe more like 350. I had it at 500.
You got the number?
I have thinking more like three planes, though, but it's five planes.
Strangely, it was probably many more early, as you suggested.
No, you know what I mean? You got to give World War One.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. A lot in World War Two, and then it slowed down.
Right.
Although Korea had a lot of air-to-air shit. Let's not forget MGAllie, people. Or shit. It was MGAllie Vietnam? Anyway, all right, let's grab another phone call and talk to line five. Chris, 29, Chicago.
Hey, get it on. Thanks so much for taking my call, fellas.
Yeah, what's going on?
I'm 29 now. Last spring, when I was 27, I just turned 29. I had a pulmonary embolism, and I've been off warfarin now for about 6 weeks. I went through my 12 months. We're trying to get everything back straight. We haven't really determined what caused it. But in the meantime, I'm curious because I've never really discussed it with my doctor because whenever anybody asks you about smoking, they're always referring to tobacco. I'm wondering how dangerous it is for somebody like me to smoke weed.
Let's go back to the clot real quick. What do you mean they haven't figured it out yet? I mean, that should have been first order business. Have you seen a hematologist?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm actually on my second hematologist right now because the hospital that I went to was the one that was in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And because, you know, I was having a pulmonary embolism. I was in terrible pain. I needed to get somewhere.
Yeah.
And I've since switched over to a doctor at a much better hospital. But that was part of the reason I switched because they never made the determination right away. I've had the genetic factor testing, and I tested negative for all of that.
Yeah.
And other than that, they can't point to a cause, but they're, you know, kind of alarmed because I was so young when I had it.
Absolutely.
I kind of have an up and down crazy family history, and 2 months prior to that, I was diagnosed with overt hypothyroidism.
Oh, so
I've got that under control.
It might have been related to that. Maybe it's related to the hypothyroidism because you can get this thing called myxedema, and that can cause a lot of funky complications.
Hypo. Oh, wait a minute. Hyper's fast and hypo's under the skin? What the fuck?
Right. Hypo's low, under.
Low. Does that make you fat?
Well, people say that, but it really doesn't typically.
Well, but hypo is slow and hyper is fast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hyper is
I don't need that.
But high and low, high and low.
You know, I'm like micro and macro.
Yeah.
Too fucking close.
Push and pull.
Ugh.
Your favorite.
All right, tell them what to do, Drew.
You know, if you're smoking pot once every 6 weeks or something, obviously anything that impairs your pulmonary function, and regular pot for sure can. It causes chronic bronchitis typically. But they're vaporizers and things, and you can take it orally and whatnot. I would certainly go that way
oral.
If you possibly could.
We can rectal.
Rectal too, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know,
I have a pot pop in me right now.
I mean, I wouldn't even advise
slow release. Lube it up and go.
Nice.
Yeah. It's
pot,
just,
what do you call it? A pot?
Pot pop. You just take it as a stick on it.
Pot pot?
Pot
pop.
Pop.
Oh, it's like
pot
a, pop. Like pot on a stick.
Yeah, it comes pretty lubed.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just, before you leave the house, I take a warm bath. That's its bath. I dye light.
How do you get the stick off?
Oh, no, you don't want stick to come off.
You just rub it in there a little bit.
Yeah, I keep the stick in there. Because, if I have a meeting or something, I'll pull it out. Something important.
Right, right.
Cop pulls me over. Something like that.
But go to meeting, you can just keep the stick right in
there.
That's
right. It's their new poster. Slow release. Slow release.
Mind you. Just melts slowly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pop, pop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, new product. Deal is, though, I wouldn't even want you around like barbecue smoke. You know what I mean? Your lung function is really important when you've had part of the lung sort of no longer getting oxygen. That's what happens. You get a clot in part of the lung, mm-hmm. and now blood shunts away from that part of your lung. So it's important that the remainder is oxygenating well. So I could not tell you it's okay. I could not do that. But it's obviously a lot different than smoking cigarettes every day.
All right. I can tell you. We're going to be in Carmel tomorrow, Sunset Theater. Love that. Also, true. Also, I see the screen. We're going to be in, don't give the, what? Just quiet. Wilbur Theater in Boston and Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, and Newport, Rhode Island. That's the 23rd through the 25th. So come out and see the Dog and Pony Show. If you want to click through our Amazon link, you do it at adamanddrdrewshow.com. And if you want to subscribe via PayPal, we love you for it. So many of you have responded to this, and it warms the cockles of my heart. So thank you so much. Subscribe. $5 a month. Good juju. All right.
Good what?
Juju. It's the name of my accountants. They're twins. All right. Anyway, good news. It seems like Gary can't count all of the aces, but it seems like over 500.
Okay. Easily.
Easily over 500. All right. So all out. So until next time. And heroes. So until next time. It's Adam Carolla. For Dr. Drew, Chris Max Pat, I'm Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.